this practice of unveiling the veils of preoccupation. We're often preoccupied, or we're seeing through wanting something else. We're under occupation of wanting something else, under occupation of preferences, opinions. And here we're creating inner space, inner space. That's eventually the space of freedom in there, so that opinions can come, but they don't take over. Yeah, but it's, I would prefer it to be like this, and it should be like this. Like, yeah, honey, I've seen through you. You're an ephemeral appearance, mirage-like, you know. I'm not so infatuated, fascinated, hooked, easily kidnapped by... So I practice this. This is what I practice. I sit here, the eye being an open eye here. We sit here and we practice being available, when usually like, yeah, but, you know, something comes in, it has a lot to say. I'm like, no, here we're practicing availability. We're practicing being fully here and learning how to not be duped so easily by one thing said and we follow it. Yeah, it's true. You know? Yeah, thank you, things said. Just things said, images flashing by. So the sense of freedom that is possible. Yeah. Oh, strong emotion. Yeah, be there. Do your thing. Rip. Press. Pierce. Contract. Oppress. I've developed that capacity to be crushed or empty, hollow. Yeah, hollow. I can meet this. So we're coming here in these conditions, and this is the practice, especially when it's a regular practice. That's the great thing about it, is, oh, what is the... Today, the meteorology, the inner one, the outer one, and it's like this. This is how it is. So we're not in trying to gain something. Huh? We're not trying to get something or get rid of something. Oh, let me get rid of that sense or emotion. No, we're learning to sit in fullness, in the middle of that. Sometimes it's cracked open or ripped open. Sometimes it's neutral, not much. Sometimes it's subtle. Beautiful in a sweet way, subtle way. Sometimes in an ecstatic way, I don't know. I don't know what's your experience on that. But no matter what the situation is, we that's what we practice. We practice being in the middle of this and not being overtaken by the desire for something else. Another moi, another story, history, you know, state, felt sense. No, that's the kind of radical nature of this practice. We sit and it feels like this, you know. And things are being revealed. What is revealed is often that we're easily taken on a ride, you know. Just a few thoughts about something even vague for some of us. You know, we're taken by slight blasé-ness, you know, slight boredom, or it could be, you know, more... ennui mortel. What is it? How does it translate in English? What is it? Deadly boredom. Deadly boredom, back at noon. Kill.
To die.
Yeah, to die of boredom. Let it happen. Fearless in this way, you know. But we wake up, we keep waking up every moment. Oh, it's like this right now. Look at this. Like this, flat, like this, you know, crushed or I don't know, I don't have all English language is really good with all these things. And so we sit in the middle of this. It can bring joy. Wow, look at this. It's possible to be in a very much imperfect landscape or unwelcoming landscape. Like, ah, there's a kind of joy that can... It's so less than perfect, yet it's possible to just be there. It can be joy or it can be compassion. You know, instead of trying to run away or, you know, control or, you know, put down or, you know, we're in the middle of it and we're tenderized. Oh, look at that. Human life. Hollowness, whatever it feels, it is there, you know. Big cloud pushing on, you know. Oh, look at that. Formation. Let's feel this. So we can develop compassion, the capacity to be with what is difficult, to stay stable in what is difficult, to bear witness, to feel. The freedom that the Buddha was talking about is not free from that, like we tend to think, maybe, you know, like, oh, it's going to flow. No, you know, it's going to be so smooth. You know, I'm never going to feel this again, or that, and that, and that, and by the way, that too, and this. You know. This will be freedom. No, freedom is a different flavor of freedom, I think. That's what I'm getting from what I'm reading, hearing from my teacher, experiencing, traveling with other practitioners, you know. Discover how to be in the middle of all these movements, doubt, self-doubt, doubt in the uncertainty in the future. How are we going to make it? Individually, collectively, you know? Are we going to resolve the confusion that we live in? You know? We don't know. Even at the time of the Buddha, from what I hear, bad foot, bad back, enemies around. People wanted to take his place, or angry at the attention he was getting. You know, it was not like floating. It doesn't seem like this. Even he describes many times after enlightenment, you hear him, when you read the sutra, says, I see you, Mara. Mara being the personification of the difficult emotions, it seems like there was visiting emotions or mind states, but he was not duped, he was not taken for a ride, you know. He was awake. Ah, look at that. I see you, Mara. You come in and you want to kidnap my attention and lead me down some kind of scenario, some stories. You know? Thank you so much. I'm here, sitting, and I see through, I see the mirage-like, bubble-like nature of all these things, you know? They seem so real. I allow them to appear, appearances, and be awake in the middle of that. It's not easy, huh? So we're sitting here and we learn to stabilize the presence. So the presence is not perturbed. It's touched, deeply touched by the comings and goings and the different formations. But it's not taken off its seat, you know, it's not going with, it's staying here in the middle of all the arisings, you know. So we might see the kind of work we have to do. You know? Like one little thought, you know, like one little, and we're like, gone, you know, oh yeah, you know, oh, this person seems to do better than I do in the meditation hall, you know, oh yeah, it's true, they seem to have a much better way to meditate and they've just been coming for not so long, they've been coming for so long, you know, we're taken for a ride. I see you, Mara. No, I'm with you, Mara. Wherever you go, I'm following. You know? It's actually very kind of fun in some ways where the Buddha in the text says, I see you, Mara. Sometimes, once in a while, it's described as Mara being found out, like goes on the side, sits, and takes like a stick and starts playing in the sand like, I got caught again, you know. He was just trying to create some drama, you know. The Buddha's like, honey. Can't mess around with anything around here. And so we learn to do this. Maybe have a little humor, but sometimes it's not humor. Sometimes that's the appropriate response, you know. Clear seeing brings joy. And sometimes clear seeing brings a lot of tenderness, you know, because it's, I don't know, heavy or feels empty or, you know, hopeless. I feel like, oh, it's never going to get my... Mara's going to get me every time. So that's the practice. And I think I told this story here before of my friend and colleague Anushka Fernandopoule. I think she has an MBA from Yale, I think. And she decided to teach the Dharma. So she said, you know, I could have gone, you know, for like the big jobs and the big, you know, salary and this, and I decided to teach the Dharma. And she said she was visiting friends who didn't decide to teach the Dharma after their MBA. And she said they were owning this, they had bought like kind of an old huge church, maybe cathedral or something, and this was like their living room was like this, you know, like this huge space, you know. And she said, I had like kind of almost a flash of doubt, you know, like, oh, you know. And I'm in this little studio over there, you know, and we have the same kind of credentials, you know, but I made these life choices, you know. And she said, so there was this little flash of like, oh. So, and she said, right away in the back, there came this sense of like, no, actually, I have that space in my mind, you know, which my friends don't seem to have, you know, at this point in their life, you know. And there's no, you know, it's good to have that much space in the mind so that, you know, as maybe Ajahn Sumedho says, you know, in this vast heart mind, if we discover its vastness and its space in it, what does he say? That was really remarkable for me when I heard it. He was saying, the space in there, like, soldiers can come in, and butterflies can come in, and, you know, rain clouds can come in, or there can be nothing in there. It's all good. You know, that's a beautiful expression of wisdom, is the capacity to be, to be in that space where the creations can appear, you know, really, be really felt, but a deep understanding of the ephemeral, mirage-like nature of what's happening is worth putting a lot of time on, I think, to clarifying this, you know. That's the way we're not duped after. Otherwise, you know, there's a thought and it seems solid and the description of reality and it's there and we're caught in it. We're just, of course we're going to follow it because it's so poignant, you know, so... But when we clarify, and so that's what we do here, this noble work of just sitting here, available, and we see the comings and goings. hopefully we can notice them. We're kind of making the awareness stronger so that it can notice the play, you know, not get caught in everything. And so that's inner space. It's worth a lot, I think. Does it make sense? Does it seem like there's places where it's not applicable? Like, not there. I kind of understand, or I understand for most of things, but not this thing. Because it seems like when the Buddha presented, it seems he's talking about unconditional, you know. Even, it means even in these conditions, whatever these conditions are. It's quite total, complete. Even in these conditions, whatever they are, you know, it seems like there's a possibility to, you know, accompany, care, create some inner space, see through. Any questions about practice? About practice on the cushion or chair? Or practice in life?
Just in general?
General.
I've been practicing for maybe about 4 years now. And at the moment I'm going through a period in my life where I feel quite positive. I feel like my meditation practice is suffering. Maybe not as a result, but I feel, you know, when negative things are happening, you're maybe more driven to go sit because you need help dealing with them. When the positive things are happening, it's a lot easier to just say, oh, like, I'm good, I don't, you know. But I guess I'm struggling to find that balance between finding that intrinsic motivation, because a lot of the time I really feel like I don't want to sit.
Yeah.
At all. And I don't know what of that is maybe something that I should disregard, and what other closed thoughts and feelings are something I should kind of give some space to.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I can. First, I want to say it, I think it's universal. You know, like a little suffering will bring you back to, you know, the cushion, the class, the Dharma seed, you know, some kind of searching. Yeah. It's funny because it's funny and it's not, but last evening I was teaching, and when a good friend who was regularly coming to the class kind of disappeared from the class for I can't say how long, but maybe a year, maybe 2 years, I don't track people like this, but so this friend yesterday said, like, yeah, I'm back. You know, everything was going great. You know, I thought like I had done my work and it was all good. You know, and now I'm back. You know, and you'll probably see me in the next few weeks. You know, because something, of course, as it will. You know, will go not as, you know, will be separated from something that is dear to us. You know, so something will happen in the relational aspect. The physical aspect and the career aspects of, you know, and so it's like this. And maybe there might be a time in your practice where you'll see, like, actually, even though it's going great, and maybe because of that I'll also keep practicing, because maybe it allows me that, so now I'll speak for myself. So so for me, things are going well these days. I'm sitting on it. Okay. and I'm driven to practice. So how it plays inside of me is I actually really want to be there because some beautiful things are happening. And so I actually want to be there. I don't want to have the habitual reaction of like kind of dismissing or starting owning, defining, like, that's me. I made this. I'm a self-made, you know, whatever, you know, and become, you know, arrogant, a little disconnected or clingy or, you know, confused, deluded in some ways. I want to stay very sensitive, you know. Or I could become also exuberance, which I have that tendency, you know. So what would that mean? So suddenly I would be happy and everybody should be, you know. And so it's really, especially for me as a Dharma teacher, you know, I have to be really aware of what's happening for others, you know. So to stay plugged in, you know, I want to keep developing these capacities, qualities of tuning in, being sensitive to what's happening, you know. And also it might allow me also to feel more how I can maintain what is there, if I can contribute, you know. The other thing, classic thoughts about this would be, so when it's going well, it might be good to reflect daily on the instability of pretty much everything, you know? And so, you know, mobility. You seem like you're mobile. Now, you are. You know? That's really like, you know? And so, senses seems to be functioning well up to now. You know? These things, you know, they're known to appear and disappear. Conditions change, you know? And, you know, and everything else. The intelligence, the memory that's in that little package there. But on the relational level, on the political level, on the, you know, how things happen suddenly. And so being attuned to that is, so some great masters have said, you know, what led me to the path was the thought of death. What kept me on the path, and what led me to the end of the path was the acute awareness of the ephemerality of what's happening, you know? And the mind will easily project, you know, this is, it's like this, it always will be like this. When it's good, when it's bad, it's like this, it will always be bad. So we just project it like this, you know? And so by reflecting, so that's, you know, that's not exactly meditation. Meditation is being attentive and discovering through the senses and real, the ephemerality of things, but you can also reflect on it. So think in this way. And so it's not to, you know, remove the joy and the beauty and the fact that maybe will make it even more precious. Wow, look at that, it could easily not go well. You know? Good. Okay.
Can we add some?
Yeah, if it's yeah, so it's from you. It's okay, good. So that would be like a general rule in the sharing. So we don't want to bring a teaching from something else that we hear because we want to contribute. It's more like how it resonates for me, and this is like it touches me like this right now in my life. It's yeah, okay, great.
Exactly, like for me, it doesn't work. Like when it goes well, it's easy. To be on the cushion. You
know. Yeah.
When it goes not that good, it's easy. But in moments in which I have felt that it's very stressful or in situations, very difficult situations,
yeah.
I realized that I was out.
Yeah.
It was very, very hard to be in the present.
Yeah.
Like I was most likely in total fear, for
yeah.
example. And knowing so many tools to
And then they're not accessible anymore. No.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. They were not accessible to me.
Yeah.
Conscious or unconscious, in the moment things started to be better. Then, I came back. But not exactly when things go
well. Yeah. So I think that's a common experience. I certainly can recognize this in myself. So in the moment of the crisis, then it's all out the window. So it shows its instability. Huh? Mm-hmm. Like mindfulness, it doesn't even come to mind. It's just panic or, you know, hopelessness or etc. So it disappears. But there's a moment that you seem to be describing also that, you know, after the crisis, the peak, you know, it could be a few seconds, could be a couple of weeks, you know, depending on the crisis we're thrown in, you know. And there's a moment where there's going to be a waking up, like, oh my God, there's a bunch of tools or there's something that I remember, yeah. And so then we can pick up the mess there, you know, very humbly. But then we do remember, which is one way to translate sati, mindfulness. One translation is remembering. It remembers itself. It remembers itself as a resource, as a possibility. So, but yeah, sometimes it's completely out the window. There's just reactivity, you know, impatience, collapsing, whatever it is. And at some point, oops, that's a good moment. You know, we could be sorry, like, oh, it wasn't there, but we could also be very thankful. Oh my God, it came back. You know. Yeah. Did you want to say something?
I just like to talk about things outside happening to you and being able to sort of let them go through or, you know, watch them from there. But like the person that is me or whatever that has all the sensations, like, let's say a whole bunch of energies, let's say that's me, and sometimes it goes chaotic and I have to deal with that. But the, like you're putting it as though that outside and this entity that sort of can deal with it is like neutral, but sometimes is affected. But that thing to me is not that clear.
Yeah.
And to keep it either in a state of, well, you know, today's a good day, you feel good, but don't feel too good because, you know, tomorrow you could fall flat on your face. And I don't know, do I have to live that way in a state of dealing all the time with this might happen, but sometimes it does, sometimes it's like I'm tired.
Yeah. So I think one important thing coming here and hearing suggestions, teachings, you know, is extremely important to see for oneself how it resonates. And if it, and so the main thing we would like actually is not that what is said would be taken as truth or wisdom. It would be more that we are awakening our intelligence, our intuition, so we can feel. So when I'm saying something, if to you it doesn't seem like a good way, a wise way to live, the most important thing really is to honor that and say, actually, no, my love, we're not going to go there. The way you hear what is being said, or maybe what is being said, and the way that you're presenting it, I would agree with you totally. Because it sounds to me, it's a little, sometimes we call it like, it's not the wisdom, it's a little, there's a word for it, a little bit of a wrong understanding, we could call it like this, which is a little cynical, you know, like the meeting with impermanence could easily lead to cynicism, like, ah, it's not going to last, you know. And so that's really stressful. I don't want to live in that, you know. But so we can ditch that, you know. If it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel right as a way of living. But there is definitely in the teaching the insight into impermanence. You know, that's actually really much at the core. And what it does when it does its job well is that it tenderizes and it makes what is there very, very precious, very beautiful. But it is based on an understanding that it's an appearance, it's ephemeral. And of course, if the mind wants it to last, wants things to last and be secure, it's going to be an insult, it's going to be stressful, we'll want to not know about that, you know. But here, the teachings, they're really talking about this. So it seems like there's a resolve to find within that is, and things will end, and we don't know when. It's absolutely true, but the idea is not that it would lead to cynicism or fear. It would lead to acceptance, deep, deep, deep acceptance, compassion, care, a universality, you know, a recognition that, wow, we're all in this together. It has this nature for all of us. And so what would shine, come out of this, would be tremendous amount of love. Love, love, love in the form of joy, because things are. Love in the form of compassion, because they go, you know. And so...
Well, I find it hard today, like, I know that we come here, but in society out there in general, like, things people are more closed in, more connected, less present to the present, so I find... sometimes very much alone.
And yeah.
I periodically connect with people just to say, okay, I'm here, and with the people. In a way, I find it exciting to be more aware and being able to assume what is going on around me.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed for myself is that the quality of presence that I'm developing is definitely having an impact on the meetings I have, you know. So the quality of presence, it seems like it makes people, I feel I have often the access to a better version of the people because I'm interested in that, because I'm there, and when people are present, they bring the best in me. Mm-hmm. That I see this. If somebody has these qualities of quality connection, care, interest, you know, they know I'm there, they give me visibility, they see me, then, whoops, I appear, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing, just having an exchange with you, that I've noticed that is surprising to me, beautiful, like a kind of a beautiful outcome of the practice is, and you know, usually where I would, there would be like a little tension and I would get an opinion going really quickly. Ah, that's that kind of person, and this is how the exchange is going to go. All right, then, you know. You know, then I would really contribute to a mess, you know. And now if I'm like, oh, it's getting tense, and I could really conclude about that person that they're an asshole, you know. Like I could, my mind could go there. It's been trained to do that, you know. And now, like, let's stay a little open and keep giving this person a chance, you know, to actually... And whoops, often it will. People will bring up the something, you know, will be... and if somebody does that with me, I respond really well. You know, if they give me a little patience, I'm going to be touched. And it's going to bring, you know, something more noble from inside me. So that's also maybe playing. And I hear you. It's... you know, maybe in line with what you say, the Buddha was saying the practice we're doing is going against the stream. Mm-hmm. So it's values that are, they don't take that much space, you know. The values that take space is opinions about things. And more and more, it seems there's an increasing with the social medias and stuff of like, I'm not sure, but I seem to be seeing like we get really strong opinion, and here what we're developing is going against the stream, because it's like keeping open, not knowing. Let me not know. Let me check it out, you know.
That's important to me. I believe in that very much.
Great. Good. Thank you. Was there something you wanted to share? Yes. Good. Let's celebrate. Hallelujah.
It's very easy to be, when things are going well, it's very easy to be grateful. And when they're not, it's hard to look at it, give it space to be a positive thing, and view it as a time of change or a time to learn something, or have your eyes open to something that you didn't see before.
Yeah.
But it's a difficult thing. It's like it's easy to be on a diet when you're not hungry. The minute you get hungry, it's a whole other deal.
Yeah.
And not feeling heard not feeling that comfortable with people who are not like-minded is a challenge to me. Because I find, even if I'm trying to be open to their way or what they're seeing, that other voice in me that's been so trained goes, you know, gotta be kidding. It's hard to be accepting when you're trying to be on a different path. It's hard to stay compassionate. It's hard for me to stay compassionate or loving or accepting. I want to go back and huddle with like-minded people.
Yeah, of course. And so we need that to create that, access to like-minded people so that. Yeah, I totally agree.
But it's isolating in a way.
To be sensitive or...
No, to kind of be drawn to like-minded people. There's a kind of exclusivity about that. Mm. Or something that feels not really kind or compassionate or open. It feels closed.
Uh-huh.
Know how to make that better for myself.
Well, one thing that do come to mind as I'm hearing you is the depth of these this quality of equanimity. And so I know for me it's been very very rich kind of exploration, investigation, the way it shows to me is, like a kind of a deep, deep, deep respect for others' path and the honoring of their path, you know, and their choices and their attitudes and also not taking it on, you know, like, so if somebody's decide to be in the attitude of impatience and have that lead, the whatever is happening, you know, the decision-making and the speech to me, there's a whole practice of, this is yours. Mm-hmm. You know, this is yours. This is how you choose to live your life. This is I hope you take care of that. This impatient. Like, I was mistaken before. I thought it was, suddenly it was mine, you know. And now I'm starting to make a discernment, like, oh, this is your reaction to this. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not, it's yours. I hope you take good care of this, you know. Mm-hmm. Or your expectations of me are your expectations. You know, they're not mine. They're yours. I hope you take good care of them, you know. You know, the Buddha at some point has an exchange with somebody comes and they start abusing the Buddha verbally. And the Buddha doesn't say a thing. And the person ends up leaving. And the witness who was there say, why didn't you say anything? How do you feel about, you know, they said all these things about you and your face and you didn't say anything? And the Buddha said, it's like if somebody comes in to give you a gift. They're like, they want to give you a gift. If you don't take the gift, who has the gift? The person who wanted to give it to you and they, you didn't take it, so it's theirs, that's nice. You know? And so he said, that's what happened. This person was, you know, it was theirs, you know? Like, I didn't have to... And I think this is very, very deep and profound, you know? So for me, I take it as instructions, as exploration, you know? So in action, I want to say, like, oh, what would it feel like if I was not to take this on? So this, whatever, idealization, expectation, judgment, demands, opinions, they belong to this person. Another way that I've worked with this, and I think I've talked about this here in the past, is so I live with HIV, and one of the many things that were very difficult, there was many things that were very difficult. One of them was that it seemed like I was imposing this on my parents. Like, so for many years it was like I did this to them, you know, like now not only did they have to deal with a gay son, you know, which was enough for them for a lifetime, it seems, to, you know, come to terms with that, you know, but, you know, a decade later, not only that, I have another load to dump on you, you know, is now you have an HIV positive kid, you know, son, and what are you going to do with it? So now shame, you know, and confusion, and who do you tell this to? Probably nobody. Then you're stuck with it. How are you going to talk about this between you two? You don't know how. You know, it's a big mess. Stress, lack of sleep, depression, you know, all this. And I used to feel that this was me, you know. But what was very liberating for me at some point was to recognize, oh, that's their story. That's their story. You know, I can maybe accompany and in all kinds of ways, but I am living with HIV. That's my story. Their story is they have a son with HIV. That's their story. I cannot take on their story. You know, it's too much to carry. They have to. I hope they take really good care of it, and they need. You know, I hope they have some resources. You know, and I can suggest that. But I'm not going to carry this. That would be disrespectful in a way. That's how I view it now. It would be this confused. How could I carry this? That's their life, you know? Life is not easy. We're constantly separated from what we want. It doesn't take the form we want. That's the form it took for them. That's the way they're separate. They want maybe a straight son who's healthy and, you know, has a partner and kids, you know? And so they get that mess. I'm not sure they view it like this. I'm playing a little bit around. But there's still, there's a lot of, you know. And so I try to do this a lot. You know, give back to people what belongs to them. So your reaction is yours, you know. And then it makes me responsible for my own integrity and reaction and ways I'm getting involved with what's happening, you know. And so the feeling of responsibility is heightened, you know. And places where I see this now is, you know, watching the news. I feel I have a responsibility. If I'm exposing myself to a newspaper, you know, or news, then there's something here that is really important, you know. Like, these people, they do what they do, and how am I carrying this, you know? Am I going to give rise to hatred or clarity? Calm or agitation, you know. So if I'm not careful, you know, I'm going to take things on, you know. But now I want to actually be awake, and you know, I know there's something here, and this thing is going to have echoes outside. And so anyway, it's just a few words, you know. I see it as we're sharing ideas. You're talking about your experience, absolutely valid, and you know, and I'm just saying a few words from this side.
Thank you.
Thank you. So maybe we could actually do a little practice, a little bit in these waters, if I can say it like this. And you'll see, please don't take on something that you don't recognize as wise or right, you know. It's very important. But if you do, and you could take it as exploration, just to check things out, you know. And so, aware of the body at this time in the day, at this time, this moment in the class, the body feels like this. Is in this shape, with these tensions or areas of ease. And so maybe we could actually just start there with the body here, and you know, there might be a lot of demands put on this body, and a lot of maybe judgments or expectations, or you know, wishes that it be otherwise. And so, if you want to, just for a moment, let's release the body and the mind from these judgments and demands and expectations from the body. And we give back its freedom to the body to be just as it is. For a few moments, just to see how it feels. If it allows for the meeting to take place with the body. And you might, if you want, think of someone that you're, you know, in relationship, in some kind of relationship with someone that might be at work, or it might be in the family. So there's someone there. If you want to try this, you could think something like, for a moment, for just a moment, I free you from my ideas about you, my limiting ideas about you, my judgments, my conclusions about you, my projections, my demands and expectations. For just a moment, just to try it, I free you from all of these. Free you from the idea I have of a better you, the better version I hold in my mind that you could or should be. I free you from injunctions, you should be like this, you should be like that, for a moment only. I can pick up all my projections and demands in a few moments if I want to. And if you feel that this person, if you feel that you could benefit from experiencing a few moments of freedom from this person's demands, expectations, judgments, projections, even idealization, I release myself for a moment from your ideas about me, your limiting ideas, your views, just to see how it feels. Maybe you want to even free yourself from your own ideas about yourself, how you should be, how it would be better if you were like this, more like this, or less like this. I free myself from my own judgments and harshness and demands for a moment. To see how it feels to give oneself a break. There might be a group of beings that you have your own ideas about, limiting ideas, judgments, biases, preconceived ideas, prejudice again. Oh, these kinds of people, they're like this, all like this. See if for a moment you could free these beings. From your limiting views, and give you a break, and give you back your humanity, your sensitivity. And if groups of people have put also judgments on you, preconceived ideas because of age or skin color or gender expression, or looks or anything. I free myself from your ideas about me. People like me. These are your ideas. You take care of them. I free myself completely from these limiting views. Sit here for a few moments in silence, and you can play with this as you see fit, or just practice being present, available with whatever is there. May we all find deep inner freedom in the midst of the situations as they are in our altar. May we find deep care and integrity. May we honor others' path also, choices, pace, style. May we be able to protect each other, see each other, value everyone, no one excluded. Okay, thank you for your practice, consideration, honest, authentic sharings. And see you again on the path. In this room, maybe in a couple of weeks, I think. October 3rd? Okay, great. And thank you for the contribution both to the studio here and to the this one here. We'll eat hopefully until the next time we see each other.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.